Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, November 6, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, in these days that Jesus Christ controls history. And therefore, as we live in client nation USA and apostasy and degeneracy, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we pray that in these days that there might be a spiritual revival in America, that you might be free to deliver us from the fifth cycle of discipline. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. When you combine the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit with a genius like the Apostle Paul, you wind up with a passage like 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10. There's nothing like this anywhere else in the Word of God. In this paragraph, we have three demonstrations of the ministry of the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, in full-time Christian service. The Apostle Paul gives three demonstrations of the winner believer's ministry with three series of nines. Category number one, suffering for blessing given to the winner believer with courageous endurance and perseverance. That's 2 Corinthians 6, 4 and 5. Category number two, nine characteristics that mark the winner believer as having virtue love brought to completion in his heart. That's 2 Corinthians 6, 6 and 7. And then category number three, in closing this description of the ministry of the winner believer, we have nine paradoxes, which are all to be seen, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 8 through 10. Category number one, we have exegeted 2 Corinthians 6, 4 and 5, suffering for blessing given to the winner believer. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4, rather in every way we demonstrate ourselves as servants of God, by means of courageous endurance and perseverance. One, in the sphere of afflictions. Two, in calamity. Three, in distresses or troubles. Four, in beatings. Five, in imprisonments. Six, in riots, that's political persecution. Seven, in hard work to the point of total exhaustion. Eight, in sleepless nights. Nine, in hunger. The Apostle Paul is going to amplify what he just gave here in more detail when we get to chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. All of these nine categories in 2 Corinthians 6, 4, and 5 are categories of suffering for blessing given to the winner believer. Suffering for blessing is part of the greater grace blessing package that God gives to the spiritually mature believer. They are designed by God to show to the world, both angels and man, the virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The winner believer loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Lord Jesus Christ has made himself at home in the winner believer's heart. And therefore, the winner believer has personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ and occupation with Jesus Christ. The invisible God in the heart of the winner believer is great visible impact to the world, both angels and man. Great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ motivates great functional virtue to the world, impersonal love for all. And that brought us to category number two, 2 Corinthians 6, 6 and 7. Nine characteristics of virtue love brought to completion in the winner believer's heart. Characteristic number one is by means of purity. And this is illustrated perfectly in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, which says, because you have purified your souls in the past, with the result that your souls are pure now in the present, that is, free from human viewpoint garbage, free from satanic policy and evil. How? By means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God, Bible doctrine, resulting in a genuine love for fellow believers, impersonal love for all, a love that is without hypocrisy, that is not phony. Love one another with impersonal love for all, eagerly, fervently, constantly, out from the source of the heart purified by Bible doctrine. So characteristic number one in 2 Corinthians 6, 6, by means of purity. Characteristic number two, by means of knowledge. That is maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Characteristic number three, by means of patience, forbearance. And that's the Greek word makrothumia, great word. Makrothumia is patience and forbearance directed toward others, especially to those who are hostile to you, who don't like you, who hate you, who malign you and judge you and slander you. So, makrothumia is patience and forbearance directed toward others, especially those who are hostile to you or who have no virtue, no honor, no integrity. Macrothumia is one of the characteristics of virtue love, especially impersonal love for all. In order for the believer to walk in a manner worthy of his election to privilege in union with Christ, he must have macrothumia. That's Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, which we studied last time. Macrothumia is a part of the fruit of the Spirit and is related to virtue love. Galatians 5, 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, macrothumia, patience. Galatians 5:22. Macrothumia is developed from maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, the filling of the Spirit, plus the teaching ministry of the Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, Colossians 1:9-11. Macrothumia is bearing with one another and forgiving one another, just as the Lord forgave you. Colossians 3:12-14. The Lord Jesus Christ is our role model for macrothumia. We saw that in 1 Timothy 1:15-16. The winner believer with the uniform of honor on in his soul, virtue love, has great stability of soul, Colossians 3:12-13. That is, he remains steadfast and endures the undeserved suffering, the unfair treatment by others, the lack of virtue and lack of thoughtfulness of others. So we have by means of purity, number one, by means of knowledge, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, number two, by means of macrothumia, patience and forbearance, number three. Characteristic number four, by means of kindness. That is the Greek word Christotes. Christotes means kindness. It means graciousness. It means generosity. Christotes is also a part of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Christotes. It is a mental attitude of grace which expresses itself in kindness to others. It is another characteristic of impersonal love for all. 1 Corinthians 13:4, virtue love is kind. That's the verb from which Christotes comes. The verb is Christelwomai. Virtue love is kind and is not jealous. Virtue love does not brag and is not arrogant. Impersonal love manifests itself then in kindness to others. This includes courtesy and thoughtfulness and true sensitivity directed toward others. Christotes is the function of good manners. Kindness is the virtue of being thoughtful of others. Impersonal love for all manifests itself in grace function toward all, and that's Christotes. So by means of purity, number one, by means of knowledge, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, number two, by means of patience, macrothumia, forbearance, number three, by means of Christotes, kindness, grace function, number four. That brought us to characteristic number five, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love, Galatians 5:22-23. And the believer who walks by the agency of the Spirit, who lives his life by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, does not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature, Galatians 5:16-17. That brought us to characteristic number six, by genuine virtue love. Virtue love without hypocrisy. We have a combination of two words here, agape, that's the Greek word for virtue love, and with it, anupokritos. So agape, genuine virtue love, anupokritos means without hypocrisy. Unhypocritical, not phony. This is the result of purifying your souls by means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God, again illustrated beautifully in 1 Peter 1:22. Therefore, virtue love is without hypocrisy. Virtue love is not phony. Virtue love is a complete and total soul love that is genuine. This virtue love can only come from a purified heart, a heart that has the human viewpoint garbage, satanic policy and evil, all meino, hauled out from the soul. That is accomplished only one way, by obedience to the absolute truth of God's Word. The purifying agent of the soul is the Word of God that is believed. So, verse 6 is in the can, exegeted, sounds like this. By means of purity, number one. By means of knowledge, maximum metabolized doctrine, number two. By means of macrothumia, patience, forbearance, number three. Number four, by means of Christotes, kindness, grace function. Number five, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Number six, by genuine virtue love without hypocrisy, and unhypocritical virtue love. Now, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7, we have the last three characteristics that mark the winner believer as having virtue love. Number 7, number 8, number 9. Characteristic number 7, by the word of truth. This is the preposition and plus the dative singular of logos, plus the genitive singular of aletheia. Once again, N plus the dative is the dative of means, by means of logos aletheia. So it looks like this. Two words here. Logos aletheia. Logos, that's the word. And aletheia, A-L, long E-T-H-E-I-A, aletheia. That's the word, not just truth, that's the Greek word for absolute truth. So the logos aletheia is the word of absolute truth. So, logos literally means the word. In an hour verse, it refers to the written word, refers to Bible doctrine. The written word Bible doctrine is declared to be aletheia. It is absolute truth. And therefore, it is the agent of accomplishing experiential sanctification. It's the means of attaining spiritual maturity. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught this. In the greatest prayer ever recorded, Gospel of John chapter 17, the greatest prayer of all time offered by Jesus Christ. And he prayed to the Father, sanctify them, experiential sanctification, advancing from babyhood all the way to spiritual maturity. Sanctify them by means of the truth, aletheia. Thy word is absolute truth. Thy word is aletheia. And so that's right from the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal God and the currently the God-man. So therefore, it's the agent of accomplishing experiential sanctification, attaining spiritual maturity, John 17, 17. The grace gospel is declared to be the word of absolute truth. This is what we need communicated in America today, the grace gospel. There's a lot of false gospels out there, but the grace gospel is simply faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And you see, we've got a lot of people today, and some of you know people that they say that's too easy. And so they don't have salvation because they refuse to believe it. They think you got to do works. It's too easy just to simply believe in Jesus Christ. It is easy. It's easy for the human race. Yes, it is. But it sure as hell wasn't easy for God the Father, for Jesus Christ. It cost them everything. It cost the Father His Son. He designed Operation Grace the Cross. And that plan of salvation, Operation Grace, required the eternal Son of God, that He, for all eternity past, loved with infinite love, to leave heaven, to leave glory, to take on true humanity, to go to a cross, and then the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Him, and then He judged them in His Son, Jesus Christ. Judged them. It cost the Father everything. It cost the Son everything. But the Son freely, willingly did it so that you could have eternal salvation. Yes, by simply believing in Jesus Christ. Yes, it is easy for every single member of the human race. But it wasn't easy for the Son. It wasn't easy for Jesus Christ on the cross. So the grace gospel is the word of absolute truth. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. And you see, when you give the grace gospel, God the Holy Spirit in common grace turns the light on in their heart. Turns the light on. And God the Holy Spirit says, this is truth. This is the truth. But every member of the human race has a free will. God doesn't make anyone believe in Christ. You have a free will to believe in Christ. You have a free will to say, that's too easy, I don't believe that. You have a free will. If you, from your free will, say, that's too easy, I don't believe that, and you keep that thinking till the day you die, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. If from your free will, when God the Holy Spirit turns the light on and says, this is true, and you believe in Christ, you have the gift of eternal life and eternal security, and nothing can ever change that eternal security. You have it forever. Verse 13, Ephesians 1, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, aletheia, when you heard the word of absolute truth. What is that word of absolute truth? The gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. The word of truth, the word logos aletheia, just like our passage, logos aletheia, the word of absolute truth. What is it? The gospel of your salvation. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, eternal salvation, And then of the love you have for all the saints. They've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attained spiritual maturity. They have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. The faith and the love that spring from the hope three, that is stored up for you in heaven, greater grace blessings in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth. There we have the same phrase, logos aletheia, the word of absolute truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth, aletheia, absolute truth. So the grace gospel is the logos aletheia, the word of absolute truth, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, Colossians 1, 3 through 6. The sound doctrinal pastor teacher, the spiritually mature pastor teacher, in his analysis and exegesis of the word of God, he accurately handles the word of absolute truth, logos aletheia, in his teaching. That's 2 Timothy 2. So turn over to 2 Timothy 2. The Apostle Paul is writing this specifically to a pastor-teacher Timothy. And he says to pastor-teacher Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, handling accurately the logos aletheia, the word of absolute truth. That's the pastor's life. Handling accurately the logos aletheia, the word of absolute truth. The word of absolute truth is a part of the armor of God. Turn over to Ephesians 6. It's a part of the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. And we can start at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Now, how are you going to do that? Put on the full armor of God. Now, we're all in a war. We're in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. And it goes 24-7. Satan never sleeps. The invisible war of the angelic conflict goes on 24-7. And to keep from being a casualty in this invisible war, God has given us the armor of God. It doesn't go on the outside, it goes on in the soul. And so the objective is for you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and get the armor of God put on in your soul. You have the armor of God on in your soul. You will be a great victor in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. You won't be a casualty. Put on the full armor of God. It goes on in your soul so that you can take your stand against the devil's strategies. For our war, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against ruling demons, against demons in authority, against the powers of this dark world, world-ruling demons, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Therefore, stand firm with the belt of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, buckled around your waist. Aletheia. And when you have that, then with the you will have the breastplate of grace righteousness. You will attain spiritual maturity. And this is important to see this because it's going to come up here in this section. So by means of the logos aletheia, by means of the word of absolute truth, Bible doctrine, characteristic number 8, by the power of God. This is the preposition and plus the dative singular of dunamis plus the genitive singular of theos. Once again, and plus the dative is the dative of means. By means of dunamis theos. So we had logos aletheia. Now we have dunamis theos. Dunamis. Well, let's get a couple of things on that. One, dunamis means power, might, strength, force, has all these meanings. In fact, we get our English word dynamite or dynamite, you know. Okay. You've been living long enough to see that movie. So we get our English word dynamite from dunamis. Two, in our verse, this dunamis is the power of theos. It's dunamis theos. It's the power of God. The power, dunamis theos, the power of God. 3, it is the inherent power of God. 4, it refers to the omnipotence of God. Five, it refers to the omnipotence of all three members of the Godhead. The omnipotence of God the Father, the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit. 6, but the spotlight is placed on the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit through the filling of the Spirit. The power, the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. The divine power so you can advance to spiritual maturity. The divine power so you can have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. The divine power so you can glorify God to the maximum. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. To glorify God to the maximum. 7, the unique spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural life. And therefore it demands supernatural power for its execution. The unique spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural life, and therefore it demands supernatural power for its execution. 8, that supernatural power is the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit through the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit. That supernatural power is the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit through the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministers of the Spirit. Number 9, point 9, The unique spiritual life of the church age can only be lived by the grace and the power of God. Not by human energy of the flesh, not by the sin nature. It can only be lived by the grace and the power of God. That's characteristic number 8. Dunamis, theos, the power of God. Characteristic number 9, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. This is where we are going to go back to Ephesians 6 in a moment here. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. This is the prepositional phrase, dia, plus the genitive plural of hoplon, with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of dikaiosune, with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of dexios, with the definite article, and then the conjunction kai with the genitive plural of aristeros. So, in characteristic number 9, we have a change in the grammar here. We have been having the preposition en plus the dative all the way along, en plus the dative, en plus the dative. Now we switch to dia plus the genitive. Now, en plus the dative is instrumental. It's the dative of means. But dia plus the genitive is also instrumental, and it's the genitive of means. So while Paul changes the preposition and the case, en plus the dative to dia plus the genitive, they both are teaching the exact same thing and translated by means of. See, I thought you would like to know all that. That's what there. It's there. You don't see it. By means of. This time we have by means of hoplon dikaiosune. Hoplon dikaiosune. Well, this is good stuff. Hoplon. Not Hopalong Cassidy. H-O-P-L-O-N. Hoplon. Couple of points on hoplon. First of all, hoplon means weapon. But we have it in the plural, so it's weapons. Weapons. Two, these are the weapons and equipment of a soldier. Well, that's what we are. We even have a hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. We're soldiers. We're in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. We're all soldiers. So these are the weapons and equipment of the soldier. Three, as royal family of God, living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, we are all in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. Satan has shifted in this dispensation, the attack has shifted to every single believer. It used to be on the line of Christ and then on Christ himself, of following the first advent and the salvation work of Christ on the cross, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So now Satan shifts the attack. It's no longer on the line of Christ. It's no longer on Christ himself. Now it's on the body of Christ. For the first time in all of human history, the attack is on every single believer, the body of Christ. That's why we are in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And Satan has many strategies to make you a casualty. And he's been very successful in the United States of America. There are some great things that have been happening, and they keep on praying for our nation. Your prayers are powerful and effective and accomplish much. Keep praying for America. Keep praying for the grace gospel to be given all over America, that many unbelievers may come to glory. But also pray that God will work in the hearts of all of these Christians who have been living in Satan's cosmic system. They're casualties right now. They're casualties in the angelic conflict. Pray that God will do whatever it takes to bring them to their senses, where they wake up and realize that they're out of fellowship with God, that they rebound, get back in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, the spiritual life. And then that they look out and seek out and find a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, so that the pivot will increase. And if the pivot increases, God will deliver us from the fifth cycle of national discipline. He will. We've seen it throughout the Word of God. He is absolute truth. He will do that. So, as royal family of God living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, we are all in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. For if we're going to be victorious in this invisible war of the angelic conflict and not a casualty, we must put on the weapons of righteousness. Hoplon dikaiosune, what we have in our passage here. We must put on hoplon dikaiosune, the weapons of righteousness. Point five, that is, we must put on the armor of God. We must put on the armor of God. And we looked at verses 10 to 14. Let's start at verse 13 again. Verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, therefore, with the belt of truth, aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, buckled around your waist. That's maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. With the breastplate of righteousness, that is, you will, when you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you advance to maturity. This is the breastplate of grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. And with your feet, you need, and when you reach spiritual maturity, you have the belt of absolute truth, the breastplate of grace righteousness. You've attained spiritual maturity. This is the armor of God that's going to enable you to be a winner in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of reconciliation, the gospel of peace, the gospel of reconciliation. You're ready to give the gospel anywhere, any place, any time, you are prepared. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. That's a defensive weapon with which you can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. That's the defensive weapon. The shield of faith. The faith thrusts life. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. That's the offensive weapon. Offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the communicated Word of God. And pray by the agency of the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Point six. Dikaiosune puts the spotlight on the breastplate of grace righteousness. Dikaiosune is righteousness. Dikaiosune puts the spotlight on the breastplate of grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. Ephesians 6, verse 14. You see, what we have here is hoplon dikaiosune, the weapons of righteousness. So the weapons of righteousness, righteousness here is grace righteousness, the breastplate of grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. So the weapons of grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. So dikaiosune puts the spotlight on the breastplate of grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. Seven, these weapons are said in our passage, they're for the dexios, they're for the right side, and the aristeros, and the left side. They're for the right side and the left side, for the right hand and the left hand. Eight, the right side, dexios, emphasizes offense, the sword, while the left side, aristeros, emphasizes defense, the shield. So the right side, dexios, emphasizes the sword, offense, while the left side, aristeros, emphasizes the defense, the shield. Point nine, the sword, offense, and the shield, defense, they emphasize both offense and defense. Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the communicated word of God, that's the offense. Ephesians 6:16, the shield of faith, faith rest life, with which you can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, defense. So the shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16, that's the defense. And by the faith rest life, you can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And then the Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit is the communicated word of God. That's the offense. So, verses 6 and 7 then sounds in corrected translation like this. Here we have the winner believer having virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Verse 6. Number one, by means of purity. Number two, by means of knowledge, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Number three, by means of macrothumia, patience, forbearance, impersonal love for all. Number four, by means of Christotes, kindness, grace function. Five, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Six, by genuine virtue love without hypocrisy, unhypocritical virtue love. Number seven, by means of the logos aletheia, the word of absolute truth. Number eight, by means of the power of God, dunamis theos, the power of God, God the Holy Spirit. Number nine, by means of the weapons of righteousness, the armor of God, for the right hand and the left, for offense, sword of the Spirit, and for defense, the shield of faith, the faith rest life. All right. I told you, only you'll never see a passage like this anywhere. But when you have the inspiration ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, working with a genius, and maybe the greatest believer of all time, the Apostle Paul, you wind up with a passage like this. So in 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10, we have three demonstrations of the ministry of the winner believer in full-time Christian service, In this passage, the Apostle Paul gives three demonstrations of the winner believer's spiritual life, three series of nines. Category number one, suffering for blessing, given to the winner believers, 2 Corinthians 6, 4, and 5. Category number two, nine characteristics that mark the winner believer's attainment to spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in his heart, 2 Corinthians 6, 6, and 7. Now, that brings us to category number three. Nine paradoxes. Nine paradoxes of the winner believer. Nine paradoxes of the winner believer. And that's verses 8 through 10. All right. Paradox number one. The King James says, by honor and dishonor. But it doesn't say that in the Greek. It says in the Greek, dia doxes kai atomias. Well, no. Why didn't they say so? This is dia plus the genitive singular of doxa plus the conjunction kai with the genitive singular of atomia. The preposition dia plus the genitive is instrumentality by means of. And then doxa. But doxa is not the word for honor. I'm going to show you. Here's the word for honor. Timmy. See? Sitting right down there. Mr. Honor sitting right down there. Time, that's the Greek word for honor. But we don't have time. We have doxa. And doxa means, literally, it means brightness. It means splendor. It means radiance. Literally, it means brightness, splendor, radiance. But then it comes to mean glory. Glory. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reflected glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of the winner believer. The believer who attains spiritual maturity reflects the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. The conjunction chi, the connective chi, and atomia is a compound word. See, time is honor. There is the word autumnia. That's the alpha privative. The alpha privative, that means no or not. And this timia comes from time, which is honor. No honor. No honor, literally. Figuratively, it means shame, disgrace, or dishonor. So the first paradox, paradox number one, by means of glory and dishonor. It's the paradox now. But this paradox is true of the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer. So, one, in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 8 and through 9a, Paul speaks of conflicting responses to his ministry. Conflicting responses to his ministry. Two, there were those who had positive volition and humility, and they responded and believed Paul's teaching of grace and truth, his teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. They were responding to his teaching. They were growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So there were those who had positive volition and humility. They responded and believed Paul's teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. Three, they saw the reflected glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in Paul's teaching of grace and truth. They saw the reflected glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in Paul's teaching of grace and truth. Four, therefore, they welcomed Paul like Christ himself. This is an amazing verse. I want you to get this down. Therefore, they welcomed Paul like Christ himself. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 14. Galatians 4, 14. Even though my illness was a test for you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Wow. That's quite a statement. So therefore, they welcome Paul like Christ Jesus himself, Galatians 4:14. Point five. But more often, Paul faced insults, dishonor, sins of the tongue, people judging him, slandering him, maligning him. That's what he received, especially from Corinth, the believers in Corinth. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 9. And we're going to get some sanctified sarcasm here. Paul was an expert at that. Verse 9. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ. Sanctified sarcasm. They considered him to be a fool and stupid. We are fools for Christ. That's what a lot of them thought. But you Corinthians, are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored. We are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, maligned, judged, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, We have become the scum of the earth, the meino of the world. So that's the paradox that Paul is presenting here. More often, Paul faced insults, sins of the tongue, dishonor. Six, virtue love brought to completion in the winner believer's heart enables him to weather the storm of insults, slander, judging, and dishonor. Virtue love brought to completion in the winner believer's heart enables him to weather the storm of slander and judging and insults and dishonor. Seven, the winner believer shows the reflected glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The winner believer shows the reflected glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to all. Eight, virtue love brought to completion in the winner believer's heart gives him the greatest stability and the greatest virtue to manifest impersonal love for all. To those who love you, to those who respond to you, and to those who hate you and who want to destroy you. That's the winner believer. It makes no difference. He operates on impersonal love for all. So virtue love brought to completion in the winner believer's heart gives him the greatest stability and virtue and honor and integrity, and he manifests impersonal love to all, to those who love you and to those who hate you and want to destroy you. That's paradox number one. That's the first. We got eight more paradoxes. And every one of these is describing the spiritually mature believer. These are things that the Apostle Paul faced. He faced it, and he passed the test, and every single one of these he honored and glorified God to the maximum. We'll start with paradox number two next time. King James says, by evil report and good report. So you get your report card next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.